67. Again, this morning we're going to look at a group of Psalms. Psalm 67 to 72, we're going to look at these six Psalms. A few of them are really short, and just touch on a few things. Taking us to the end of the book two, or the second division in the book of Psalms. If you open your Bibles to Psalm 67, Psalm 67 is about God looking toward the future when God will govern the earth. God will rule on the earth. In 68, we see a variety of things, but we read this morning of God being a father to the fatherless. In 69, we see a petition, a prayer for God's intervention to draw close, to draw near. And Psalm 70, a prayer for the poor and the needy. 71, a prayer for the old timers. I like this one. Look in Psalm 71. Look in verse 5. I'm sorry, 6. By you, I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. And then down in verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. David, coming to the end of his life, you know, recalling God's faithfulness in his life. You've been with me all my life now, Lord. I'm getting old. Be with me, Lord. Don't cast me off. This psalm is gaining meaning to me for some reason. As life goes on. Isn't it weird? You look around and you look at old people and you think, man, you know, they used to be young. They used to be kids. Time's whipping by. But David, mentions in this psalm, look in Psalm 17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. David, you know, praying as he comes getting older, praying for God's strength. And then Psalm 72, it speaks of the reign of the Messiah. And you come to the end of 72. Notice the prayers, 72:20. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. How, you know, this ends the prayers of David in this division of Psalms. But going back to Psalm 67, we're going to look at a couple things more closely. We see a pattern in Scripture and through the Psalms that often occurs when one prays or one turns to God. They look forward, and this psalm does, looking forward yet future to the upcoming reign of Jesus Christ. And it's through the perspective of Israel, or the nation Israel, in his reign. You know, oftentimes you go through the Scripture, you see prophecy about when God will restore the nation Israel, and when the seed of David, the promised Messiah, will take his throne in Jerusalem and reign in his everlasting rule from Jerusalem over the whole earth. And this touches on that truth. If you look in, look forward in 67, look in verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. You're going to rule on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O Lord, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. And God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Looking forward to the time when he rules over the whole earth. The whole world is gathered before him, and the whole earth acknowledges and praises him. A psalm, one yet to be fulfilled when Jesus comes back and takes his reign. And when he does, he sets up in Jerusalem, the Bible says, sits on his throne in Jerusalem, and rules the entire earth. A psalm looking forward to that, celebrating the truth of his a time when he rules on the, over the whole earth. And then in Psalm 68, at the beginning of Psalm 68, the first few verses, yeah, it also talks about what's yet future, but notice, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. When he does come to rule, it won't be a smooth transition for the wicked, as President Bush has told President-elect Obama, that it'll be a smooth transition of presidency. But when he comes to set up rule, it won't be a smooth transition for the wicked. The Bible says that he'll come and they will flee like smoke. They'll be scattered, the Bible tells us. They'll run, they'll flee. They'll melt like wax. It's not going to be a good time for the wicked, for the non-believer when he comes. But note, it goes on in verse 3 and 4 that it is going to be different for the righteous when he comes to set up his rule. In verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him, magnify him. Him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him, granting an allowance for the righteous to rejoice before him, to praise him, to be glad before him, to turn to him, to worship him, to honor him as he assumes rule over the earth. During this transition, an allowance granted. Look forward in this two psalms to his upcoming reign. In Psalm 68, it's David writing about not only a look forward, but of God's faithfulness. He looks back. Another thing that's prevalent in Scripture is a recollection when you come before God, when you pray to God. You look back at God's hand in history, how he's moved. And over again, there's pattern in Scripture where, you know, Lord, you moved when we were in the wilderness. You opened up the Red Sea. You've been so faithful. You destroyed our enemies. Looking back at the track record of God, how he moved in history. And David does again here in Psalm 68 as he looks back and he sees God's faithfulness and he attributes God's faithfulness to how he moved back in history. 7 through 14, he recollects and remembers. He notes God's faithfulness for meeting needs. For in verse 5, he says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. A father to the fatherless. Really, faithful to those who are in need of a father. The orphans, got your back. The widows, I'll defend, stand up and protect and vindicate the widows. God for the underdog. But really, again, through Israel's perspective, or the nation Israel's perspective, it does speak of the nation Israel. If you look in verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. That actually means, in the Hebrew, it speaks of the destitute or the homeless. God sets the homeless in families, or in the Hebrew, it's in homes. Or he brought the homeless back into the homeland. You're faithful, Lord. You've been a father to the fatherless. You've given us a homeland. As, you know, David looks to God and recollects the history of the past. He looks back, he praises him, looks towards the future, praising him. He meets needs. He meets needs personally. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. In verse 4 in Psalm 68, it really speaks of who God is as David looks at him, not only including in looking at his faithfulness, who he is. In verse 4, his name is Yah. That's an abbreviation of Yahweh or Jehovah. We don't know the proper, spelling of God's name, for the vowels were deleted by the transcribers, realizing that it was too holy for man's mouth. So they, we try to come up with what his name is, Jehovah or Yahweh. J is silent in Hebrew, Yahweh. And how, that's our best guess. But David, Yah. Your name is Yah. And his name, signifies or means that he's the all-sufficient one. He's self-existing. He came from nothing. He's a being that came from nothing, and yet he's all-sufficient. And then he gives everything being. He gives us life as we come before him. He's our God. He's our creator. His name is Yah, abbreviated version of Yahweh. The becoming one. Giving being to all. Becoming to us who we need. Really, what his name means. When he first revealed to man his name, it was in the case with Moses, speaking to Moses from the burning bush. He called Moses into the ministry. You're going to go before Pharaoh. You're going to lead the people out of Israel. And you're going to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. No, Moses was freaking out. Who shall I say sent me? And he said, say, I am sent you. The becoming one. And then later on in chapter 6 in the book of Exodus, God speaking to Moses says, I've revealed myself to you as Yahweh. Self-existing one. In that, encounter from the burning bush when God told him who he was. Becoming to you your need, who God is. As David recounts God's faithfulness, who God is, the becoming one, becoming to us who we need. But he more than steps up, and fills the need for us. He becomes the need, the Bible tells us and shows us. He's the father to the fatherless. I need a father. He becomes my father. He's a defender of the widow. Those that need, support, vindication, an arbitrator, a defender. He becomes to them theirs. Our substitute. We need a substitute. The Bible tells us that, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ, we have access to the Godhead. For the Bible says the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are accessed through Jesus Christ to us. The Godhead dwells in him fully, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Becoming to us our need for God. Complete in him. Our substitute, the Bible tells us, we have a need. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. By law, by God's holy law, man has sinned, and the punishment of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But the Bible tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, becoming to us our need. Then the Bible further says, he who had no sin became sin for us, becoming sin for us upon the cross in our place as our substitute, becoming the becoming one. More than filling our need, becoming our need, becoming the one we need. And David looks to him and, recounts what's up and coming in the future prophetically. looking at his faithfulness in the past. But we see David personally. If you scan these Psalms, if you go to 70, Psalm 70, look in verse 5. David crying out to the Lord, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." Now this is David speaking, the king of Israel. "I am poor and needy, God." You know, one thing, him becoming to us our need, David recognizing how much he needs him. "I'm poor." If David was poor and needy, then I'm bankrupt, impoverished before him. He's a man after God's own heart, David, becoming to us the model, a type of Christ. But when he comes before God, recognizing his need, "I'm poor and needy, man. I need you, Lord. I need your deliverance. I need your intervention. I need you to be who I need." But recognizing who he needs and his own state. 71, we read already, "Hey, when I'm in my old age, don't cast me off when I lose my strength. For I'm going to lose my strength when I get old." And him looking to God, asking God to become his need, fill his need, meet his need, more than meet his need. Look in Psalm 69, verse 5. "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." I fall so short, Lord. You know who I am, what I do, how fall I short, my frailty, my weaknesses, how I'm wired, what I think. Lord, you know how foolish I am before you. Calling a spade a spade is what he's doing. He's being honest in truth. I'm a fool. And look in chapter 72, or Psalm 72, as he comes to the end of the prayers of David in this last psalm, he's in verse 12. God, he will deliver the needy when he cries. When he cries. The poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and the needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. A little capsule here of he's gonna answer when the needy cry out to him. He'll be their answer. He'll answer their need as he looks to them, or looks to him. David pronouncing, God will move, God will deliver. David looks forward to what's yet coming. David looks at God's faithfulness, forward and faithful. But he also looks at free, being free. Look in Psalm 68, verse 6. And the last part of verse 6, it says that, or in the middle part, "He brings out those who are bound into prosperity." Freedom in him. We find our freedom in him. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. He goes on to end that verse with those who are rebellious dwell in a dry land. If you're rebellious, you won't be brought out into prosperity. The true crime is to deny Jesus Christ. You know, we talk often about, or you hear a lot today on the radio and airwaves and the media, about hate crimes. You know, a hate crime, when a Christian would stand up and say, "Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven," that makes them guilty of a hate crime. It's ridiculous. You know, the opposite's true. The true hate crime is to deny Jesus Christ, to deny his salvation, to deny his help, to deny your need for his help. If you look in verse 68, or chapter 68, notice, where are we at here? 67, at the end of verse 1. no, 68, the end of verse 1. Let those also who hate him flee before him. The real hate crime is to hate and deny him. Those who are rebellious will dwell in a dry land, David wrote. Those who deny their need of him. In John, where Jesus uses the title of I am to the Pharisees, he was, you know, conversing to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, you know, they started copying an attitude towards Jesus, and they said, we have our father Abraham. And Jesus said, your father's the devil, because you deny your true father, God, and you're not accepting me. He said that before Abraham was, I am. A self-existing one, Jesus Christ, God, your father, your need. The true crime is to deny him. In verse 1 and 2, Psalm 67, but to turn to him with our need. Bless me, Lord, if you accept him, if you turn to him, it entitles you some privileges. Bless me, Lord. Three times over in Psalm 67, he asks for this blessing, and your blessing will be upon us. In Psalm 67, at the end of verse 2, he says that he mentions God's salvation. In the Hebrew, it talks about, it really means saving health. To be in that state of holiness, healthiness, to accept his salvation. Talking about the nation, looking forward to what's up and coming, but asking for that blessing because of their acceptance of him. I accept you, Lord. I'm entitled to be blessed. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. As David looks to God for a blessing, for the salvation to come. So how does this all, you know, apply to me or you? You know, the same holds true. God is our becoming one. I am that I am. He more than meets our needs, he becomes to us our need. Himself becomes to us our need. Must recognize my need. I'm poor and needy before you, Lord. Intervene, please help. Please touch and satisfy what I really long for in my heart. Not what I think I'm asking for, but the truth of my being, reaching out to you for intervention and help. I need you, Lord. I need your touch. You know, what's your need? Need a father? I did. You know, my father kind of abandoned us when we were younger. I'm not crying about it. I don't have a chip on my shoulder. But the truth is, God became to me a father. He more than met my need. You know, that he becomes to us. You know, you see his hand, how he's made strong when people need him. And in the place of their need for him, he becomes strong. Need a father, a defender for the orphans, poor and needy. Need forgiveness? He'll become to you your sin offering to bring atonement to you and your soul, to cover you with his blood. Need mercy? All the time. That's what David cries for in Psalm 67. God, be merciful to us. That denotes being forgiving. Forgive us, Lord. Be merciful. Be gracious to us, O Lord. Lay it on us. Give us all of it. Provision? You know, hey, pray for the men in the church. We need jobs. We need money. The economy's terrible. Need provision? It's interesting where Jehovah Jireh came from. If you look in Genesis 22, when God called Abraham to take up his son Isaac on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him as a test of faith. And then he took him up there and Isaac said, hey, Dad, there's the fire. There's the wood. There's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham, by faith, said, God will provide himself the sacrifice. Later on, in that passage where the angel stayed his hand, he wouldn't allow him to slay his son, he said, the Lord is, no, the Lord provides the lamb, Jehovah Jireh, himself, our provider. You know, I need provision, right? Acceptance? Need acceptance? Are you seeking others' approval? You got that queer quirk, twist in your heart or in your psyche? The Bible tells us that, you know, here David prays, and at the end of verse 1, cause his face to shine upon us. It's that blessing in out of Numbers, you know, to look to God for his face to shine upon. It means, you know, what it denotes is that he doesn't turn your face, his face from you in disapproval, but he's looking at you and shining on you because he loves you and he approves of you and he accepts you. And he is your acceptance, my acceptance. Granting us our approval. Shame, guilt. You got shame or guilt to unload? Carrying it from your childhood? He provides for us a way to unload the shame and the guilt. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 21. David, Paul, recounting what God has done through the crucifixion on the cross, the work that he brought and the effect of that work, bestowing grace upon us that we cannot earn, explains that grace. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? In the past, when you, before you lived for Christ, before you accepted Christ, the shame that you had. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free, the Bible tells us, from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Freedom from guilt and shame at the cross. Becoming to us our sin, the Bible says. Abandonment. You got abandonment issues? He becomes to us our need. You know, even to the point of death. You know, David's crying out, you know, be with me, Lord, as I get old and lose my strength. But the Bible tells us that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Bible promises that he'll be with us all the way through, even the crossover, during death. His face to shine upon us as David looks to God for the blessing. So just a few reminders of to be look forward and be faithful and to live free. Let's stand. Forward, faithful, and free. As David comes to the end of his prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and the truth in your word, Lord, that is alive and powerful and active, able to cut through our deception, our flesh, discern what's spiritual, what's of you, and flesh, what's of me. And Lord, we thank you. We ask that you plant your word in our heart that we may not sin against you. Cause us, Lord, to look forward and be faithful and embrace our need for your provision and our for our need. You become to us what we need, Lord. We turn to you that you'd be our God, our Savior, our Lord, and we'd be free. That you touch and deliver and bring us out of a dry land into prosperity, into your promised land. Lord, we believe you and we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a message I was preaching to the choir but it was dedicated to the pastor. So it's not just for you, it's definitely for me. David says, I'm poor and needy. And again, if David's poor and needy, man, how much I don't realize. I know I need him, but how much I don't realize I need him. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. How about this one? May the Lord make His face shine upon you and give you peace. Be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.